All right, praise the Lord. We're getting ready to turn it over to Sister Cindy. Once again, we just want to reiterate, Sister Cindy Taft is a woman of prayer, and she has been helping our women, our young ladies. She has a great spirit and a great burden for souls. So it is a pleasure and an honor to hear Sister Cindy Taft this morning. Sister Cindy, are you there now?
Yes, I am, Brother Vic. Thank you.
All right. Go right ahead.
Good morning, church. First, it's an honor that they're even allowing me to be able to speak and to, I look at like we are all edifying the body and lifting up the body. These devotions and these morning manas have been a lot to me. It's made me reach out to more than I ever have before, because listening to each person, you get something different. And honestly, for me, when I study stuff, I take this very serious. And I had all these notes, and God scrapped them all this morning. So bear with me as I try to share with you what God has given me. I'm reading from Matthew 6, and I'm starting with verse 1, and I'm going to skip to different verses. Matthew 6, take heed. In my Bible, it's a study Bible. And it's a Bible, King James Version, but it's a study Bible. And in the top of it, it says, the practice of kingdom life in relation, and in 6:1 is relation to almsgiving. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Don't call attention to your acts of charity. Then I'm going to skip down to verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Give for God's glory only. It is much better to be rewarded from God than man. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 6 in relation to prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'm just going to say a little tidbit about my closet. Most of you know this that know me real well. If I could live there, I would stay there. Now, I know that's not reality, but it is a complete different entity stepping into that closet into prayer with God. And as you establish it, whatever spot you've got in your home, wherever that is, that doesn't have to be an actual closet, but whatever that spot is, I know someone that is just the side of a wall in their room, but here's the thing is, he'll meet you there. He'll wait for you there to commune with you. Then I'm going to skip down to, or no, I'm going to go to verse 7. When ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Verse 8, but be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So I was thinking of this verse. A lot of times we get stuck on what we need, what we want. And he already knows what we need. I'm not saying that we can't ask him for what we need. I'm just talking about Cindy here. I'm talking about what I've learned. I don't ask for needs every day. I'm going to be real honest with you. I wasn't going to share this. But there's a part that I do in my prayer book, and it says, tell God your needs. I don't have any needs. Mine are prayers for my family. But I do not have actual needs. Not that I'm anybody special. I just don't have actual needs. But my prayers are for others. My prayers is for this body. God's been having me do that for a long time. It's for this body. It's for the prayers that people ask us to pray for. Yesterday, as Brother Vic was saying them on the line, I got a piece of paper and I wrote down every one of them. And I thought, you know what, God, just like Pastor talked the other day, and honestly, you guys, I'm saying stuff I wasn't even planning on saying. Like Pastor talked the other day, he said, you know, he got out the list of the church. I notice every time I go in there to go pray, there's this list of every single person that pastor was wearing as a breastplate. We can call out every one of those names. It doesn't have to be done like all day long. It's one time a day to call out their names to remind God, because God uses us as a vessel to pray. I'm going to go to verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is imperative. It is a must. Because you can't move anywhere with God if you've got stuff in you that's not forgiving. Now I'm going to go down to verse 16. Or no, I'm sorry, not 16, 17. But thou, when thou fastest, this has to do in relation to fasting, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Now, someone told me one time that was for the priest, so it didn't look like you were fasting. But I take that literally, because this is Jesus speaking. And when he speaks, it trumps everything for me. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now I'm going to go down to money. Verse 19, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay, verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. 21, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The choice between two treasures. When we try to live for two masters, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. When we try to live for two masters at the same time, it puts a dark shadow over everything in our life. Now I'm going to go down to verse 25 in relation to anxiety. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, for what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on it. It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, verse 27, by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Question, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? The answer is no. Worrying will destroy you. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Go down to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day at a time. Not for tomorrow, today. Today's got enough worries in itself. But here's what struck me with the last verse, and it always has. And if you saw my Bible, it's writing all over it. So that's why I was kind of stumbling, because I'm trying to see in between it. But the last verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So when he shows you all of chapter 6, he didn't put that at the beginning. He put it at the end. He said all these things. Verse 6 is a guideline, just like the whole entire Bible is. It's like him sitting down in front of us. So I study it, and I was looking. Suppose someone offered us a tremendous sum of money, perhaps billions of dollars, but the exact amount would be determined by how well we could learn to speak German in 2 months' time. We would embark on the most intense crash course program of learning in our life. We would study from morning to night, burn the midnight oil, listen to language tapes, carry flashcards wherever we went, and souk our fluent German speakers so we could practice with them. During those 2 months, no one could drag us to do anything that wasted our time. We would probably allow nothing to interfere other than necessary physical activity to sustain life itself, all for money. Notice what Jesus says earlier in Matthew 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, or where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Consider these scriptures in the context of what Jesus says in verse 33. Our hearts are in the things to which we devote ourselves, the things we spend our time pursuing. He is helping us prioritize by stating and illustrating principles that will help us make the right choices in managing time. And this was for Pastor Clark. Every day, another 24 hours or 1,444 minutes, 40 minutes or 86,400 seconds is credited to our account. And we have to spend them, whether we're a billionaire or a dirt farmer. Except for those who die that day, all have the same amount of time. And Jesus says how we spend it shows where our heart is. And I'm adding this in. We are children of the true and only King, God. We have a treasure. That's God. We have a treasure chest. Some may just want to skim off the top, but it's all yours. Why wouldn't you want to dig in all the way to the bottom? Here's what I have found. Cindy has found. The enemy doesn't want you to, because when you do go deeper and you see the spiritual realm, but here's what is so exciting, because when you dig that deep, the possibilities become endless. You know that who God is. You know that God will, and you know that God can do anything. How? Through prayer, through reading our word, fasting at least once a week. That's a game changer. It has been for me. I've been doing it for over 6 years. Our focus becomes different. It's like daily stepping into the office God has given you. And you saying, what direction do you have for me today? Kingdom-minded. Where's our mind at? What are we focused on? Cindy, I'm talking to me too. I want to be kingdom-minded. I don't want to be so focused on what I want. I want to be focused on what God wants. I'm here for his purpose. It's bigger than us. It's bigger than our family. It's about the kingdom. Our focus should be toward the end result. It gives us encouragement and admonishment to motivate us to understand and live all of life in relation to where it ends. Will life end in the kingdom of God or the lake of fire? That is a choice that each person makes, even in the everyday mundane things, eating and drinking, going to work, getting along with others, and so on. So on, God wants his people to relate those daily experiences to their goal, the kingdom of God. Thank you, Brother Vic.
Thank you, Sister Cindy. Thank you, Sister Cindy. That was powerful. Church, what a message on prayer that we heard this morning. And I hope that you felt that powerful anointing as Sister Cindy was delivering her devotion this morning. I believe it is even more impactful and more powerful when it comes from someone who practices prayer faithfully like Sister Cindy does. Thank you again, Sister Cindy, once again. That was powerful. Church, you know what? Why don't we go ahead and right now and thank God while we're feeling this anointing. Why don't we thank God for what we've heard and ask the Lord to help us to get into that type of prayer that Sister Cindy has talked about. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this devotion. We thank you for Sister Cindy Taff and the example that she's given us, not only in word, but indeed in her faithfulness, Lord God. We thank you for it, and we're asking you, Lord God, to continue to touch your people and help us, Lord, to get into that faithful prayer that we need to help us to find that special place, that altar, that special closet of prayer that we each need, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, en el nombre de Jesús le pedimos. And everyone said, amen. Once again, church, we're going to remind everyone to join us tonight at this same line at 7:15 p.m., we're going to be hearing from Brother Stephen Orell this evening. Once again, God bless all of you and stay prayerful throughout the day. God bless you.